to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host, coming to you from Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza if you happen to be from the area. If you're outside the area, you can just give us a call, 509-994-0044, or toll free 877-TAP-COIN, 877-827-2646, or through the website at coinsplus.com. Boy, I get kind of airy there every now and then, don't I? So Coins Plus has been in business about 20 years. We've done the same thing a few times. We do enjoy helping you with your finances. It's an important part of what we do. It really is. It's, you know, for years I was buying and selling coins and investing and you know, I used to sell stuff to other dealers, and it just bothered me. Some of these coins were so scarce and rare and hard to find. And we would just go, man, that's a good investment. Man, that's going to be a good investment, you know? And they have. I mean, folks, I have mentioned it before, and I know this kind of like in people's minds, it's crazy, but I was talking with my son last night, and I have this huge hoard of coins, you can imagine, because I believe in it, you know? And I have these pennies, old, rare pennies, and I won't get into the dates, but it's like my son was going through helping me make some rolls and organize. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, millions, but it's not the quantity that counts, it's quality. So you can have bags of old pennies and they're worth 2 cents a piece. It's just that I've saved up over all the years and $1 billion in business stuff. And we were going through some of these pennies, and I said, well, that roll, there's 50 coins in a roll. I said, that roll's going to be worth about $3,000. And he's like, $3,000? That's like $60 a coin. He goes, I thought this date was only worth about, he said, I thought they were like $8. I said, yeah, 15 years ago they were. So 15 years ago, this roll would have been $400, and now it's $3,000. And we were just talking about how awesome the investment, a lot of this stuff is. And folks, we put this stuff in portfolios. When you do this for a living all the time, I mean, people have this mindset that, you know, they're rocket scientists or something, and they think that they're going to, or I don't even know, but they have this mindset that it's just super simple. You jump in, you buy gold, you buy silver, you jump out. That's not the purpose of it at all. Precious metals-based assets, I always say, are, the you know, coins, there's semi-numismatic, numismatic, and bullion. They're all based on the same market, but folks, you would be absolutely baffled at the amount of energy, emphasis, and capital that is in the coin market. I mean, literally billions and billions of dollars a day trading these things. We have, you know, especially with the modern internet, live secure dealer networks, there's live public networks. You can literally track your items day in, day out. They're immediately, absolutely liquid. A lot of this stuff is, you know, well, I'd say the vast majority of what we sell is super desirable. We even, in addition to it, we make it problem-free, original. We grade accurately. There's all this stuff that makes it so you are literally carrying liquid cash. And typically the way our portfolios work is we do a substantial percentage in the precious metals, and then we do some semi-numismatic, which is, in a lot of cases, semi-numismatic, believe it or not, is just a product that you're paying really close to its intrinsic value, but the upside potential is really great because it can go up with the precious metals market or with the coin market. And then at the top, we put in numismatic coins. People are moving more into numismatic coins, are getting more comfortable, and they're doing well. And folks, it's really not uncommon. There are 10-year cycles in this business, and it's 10 down, 10 up, and that's just the way it's been. Very solid over time. We're coming out of a the valley and we're moving up. And I just read an article today. There's all this different charting and graphing that these quote-unquote experts do. And today I was reading, and they're like, oh, finally, let me see it here. A head and shoulders, they call it. A head and shoulders breakout. On an eight-year chart for gold, it's now becoming apparent that a large head and shoulders bottom is completing that started to form way back in 2013. This is a big base pattern that will lead to another bull market, major bull market. And given what is set to go down in the debt and derivatives market, it should easily exceed earlier highs. With the benefit of this long-term chart, we can also put the sizable run-up during the first half of this year into context. It was the advance to complete the head of the head and shoulders bottom. This being so we can also readily understand why it then gave back about half of these gains. It dropped back to mark out the right shoulder of the pattern. And the good news is that with this late stage of the pattern now approaching completion, we can look forward to more serious gains soon. The new bull market will be inaugurated by the price rising above the first zone of resistance shown, although it will then have to contend with another major zone of resistance in the 1550 area. However, if the credit markets are coming apart at this time, this will prove to be no obstacle. And so basically, without going into great detail, this guy that I read, this guy's my guy. I mean, I've over the years, he's never wrong. And so, he's got other evaluations and whatnot. So we are coming out of a valley. But at the same time, what's interesting is the thing with the metals is we get overshoots and then over, of course, corrections. But that correction was years back, like he said, in 13. From 13 till now, it's been pretty solid. I mean, it's been solid, and we've had just kind of this tick, 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 nice solid gain, believe it or not. I mean, we've had like a 20-some percent, 25, 26% upswing in the last year and a half or two. I mean, that's good, And so, but the main primary thing that you got to think about is preserving your capital, okay? And the trick is to maintain absolute wealth. When you have certain things you do, if you've invested, if you have a 401k or an IRA or whatever, and it is in stock paper, there is a time to say, you know what, this has been a wonderful ride. Now, you might think that you've got, super futuristic greed goggles or something, that you're going to time it to the day. Nothing drives me crazier than listening to guys call me up and going, yeah, I should have sold back there when it was at 135.48. And I'm like, you mean at 137 in the morning in Japan? For 6 seconds, and they're like, well, no, I was gonna. And I'm like, no, you weren't. There was no possible way. They'll, that hindsight reading graph charts is foolish. Well, like when gold got to 1920, I was gonna sell that day. And I'm like, well, that didn't last more than about 32 seconds. The fact of the matter is you have to be in it for the long run. You've got to believe in the metal. You've got to understand, first of all, when it comes to solid, hard, tangible assets, God made them. He went to the extent of mentioning them in Genesis chapter 2, and then he called them good in the Hebrew word that is the highest, most powerful word in the Hebrew language, in ancient Hebrew, Tav, T-O-W-B, the most powerful Hebrew rabbinical word at the time. It has like 28 meanings that are incredibly positive. He said the gold is good in that land. He told us about it. And then he starts to tell us about the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and even Joseph with Pharaoh. And what is it? Gold, 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 silver, silver, silver. And they don't talk as much about silver because when you're dealing with kingdoms and you're dealing with mammoth wealth, gold's a lot prettier than silver. Now, don't get offended, but gold's a lot more expensive too. It takes a lot of silver to take up the same amount of space, or I'm sorry, the same amount of value as gold. Right now, you're talking like 60, just roughly 50, 60 ounces, 70 ounces of silver. to 1 ounce of gold. Well, back then, I mean, they're cruising around some serious cash. You know, everything was in gold. They'd have bricks and bars and, you know, centurions and guards to haul it and people to go ahead and people to follow behind. And, you know, I mean, silver served a great purpose. Silver served the purpose of everyday coinage. But when you get down to serious wealth, folks, it's kind of like Trump, right? You're working your way up in the world and you want to start to own real estate, right? So what do? You go buy some little tiny house for $100,000 that you're going to rent out for income. And when all the dust settles, you probably make about 38 bucks a year because of taxes and maintenance and all the headaches. When you got big, big bucks, you don't do that. You go buy skyscrapers, right? Well, that's the same with governments. That's why in the Old Testament, when you're talking about people with big bucks, they got lots of gold, you know. Gold is the true sign of wealth over time. And when you go back to those heartbeat areas of the world, the Mideast, the Arabs, and the Jews, these are people that have been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They figured it out. They do, folks, sink their money in assets. I know it for a fact. I know a ton of them. I probably know more of them than any of you because of the business I've been in for decades. These boys, when you get into the real money in the world or the real wealth accumulation, they use hard assets. They use precious metals-based assets, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. I would say human life because that's in the Bible as an asset. But what it is it's the wealth-building ability of human beings that is, you know, because we create wealth. So if you harness humans and own a company, you're capitalizing on a true wealth aspect of what God made. The trick is, whenever you do that, you want it to be a win-win. That's why slavery is an absolute sin. It's an absolute disrespect of humanity. When they used to get into the racist stuff, I don't know what happened there. I'm curious if there were curses put on people or, you know, I don't know. I've heard different theories. Curses put on, you know, on generations or whatever it is. The bottom line is something happened. And those people spent years in misery. And it's weird. They spent so many years, centuries, millennia in slavery that now that they're out, they can't handle it. It's tough on them, you know? And in the book of Genesis, God says, I have cursed the ground for your sake. What does that mean? I've cursed the ground for your sake. Why would he say that? Think about it. I think what he's saying is it's for your own good. You know, and it's interesting. It comes right after he said, you know, it's the woman you gave me that made me eat it. Now, people laugh at that, but it is true. You know, we don't know what the time frame is. Adam was single for a while. You know, he was batching it in the garden, kicking back, you know, eating some figs, watching the animals, cruising around. All of a sudden, God goes, let me show you something. He says, you think that's beautiful? Watch this. And I suspect Adam and Eve were a pretty good-looking couple, don't you? Kind of a genetic hybrid there. And then he gives him Eve somehow in his genetic makeup. He sees her and goes, wowza. And then all of a sudden, you know, she's a thinker too. He's been in the garden. There's a possibility that he got the rule first, came back. Maybe he told her, God said, don't eat of this tree. Because what did the devil say? Is that really what God said? Why would he ask that? What if he's asking because Adam told Eve when she was created? And he's like, we can do whatever we want. We just can't eat of that tree. So then God all of a sudden sees, yeah, these guys are going to get in trouble. Idle hands are the devil's workshop, and I'm going to make them so they got to work for their own sake. Later on, we get to Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and he goes, this is your ultimate, your meaning of life. This is your ultimate identity is to what you accomplish in your work every day. Think about it. God says you're going to till the land for your own good. God's welfare, the biblical welfare is what? You don't work, you don't eat. Now, what happens, you know, with people that are on welfare? They become unproductive. They get in big trouble. Now they get fat and out of shape and mad. And, you know, folks, there is nothing as therapeutic as a good hard day's work. I think I've mentioned in the past with my kids, periods of time they were unemployed, coming out of college. I mean, attitude, or going to college, you know. All of a sudden, my daughter went to this Christian college, Azusa, supposedly a great Christian college. I wasn't overly impressed. And she starts getting this attitude about my dad is a capitalist. And this started coming on. And she came home one time and lit into us about all we do is work and all we care about is money. And it's like, yeah, honey, you got these little things called bills. And I mean, it was bad. So eventually we pulled her out. Brought her up here, and after she got out of college, I mean, her attitude was not good. And she was born in, you know, born and raised a believer, went to Christian school. But I'll tell you what, once she got a good job, 2 weeks, 2 weeks turnaround, whole different outlook on life. There's just something about it, isn't there? We need to work to make a buck. God did that for us. And there's a sense of accomplishment. If you hate what you do, change it. If you don't know what to do, the first thing you should probably do is get out of debt. Because most of the time that people are doing something they utterly hate, it's because they got debt. And they might be, you might, you know, I'm not ever condoning this, but I've dealt in people's finances a lot. I've seen people, they're upside down in their cars, they're buried in houses, they've got credit cards coming out their ears. Find a way out if you're unhappy. The other thing along those lines that is so critical to me, I spent years in banking, and I had a guy call me recently, and I was a little surprised. And he wanted me to refer him to an attorney who could coach him. He had been in a home for 7 years without making a mortgage payment. He called and said they were putting his house into foreclosure. He was focusing heavily on a bunch of technicalities the bank had done wrong in filing this paper or responding to that paper. And he was appalled with the court for not basically being as attentive to his highlights as he would have liked. He was representing himself pro se. Folks, I would never condone that, okay? I believe in integrity and character. Everybody's got a story. I know, hey, we fell on hard times, blah, blah, blah. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I've fallen on hard times, hard times. And what we did is we moved, literally, you've heard my story. My wife and I moved into poverty housing. We sold all we had, which was nothing, and I had a $150 Buick in the 90s, and I lived surrounded by people on welfare. Dirt poor. The thing that blew my mind, I was making $16,000 a year. I had student loans. I had kids. I had a wife who was literally bedridden with rheumatoid arthritis. The thing that blew my mind was that when the end of the year came, I filed exempt on my taxes. When the end of the year came, I owed taxes. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And so I had to rack my taxes up on a credit card. And that was even more painful. But what I did is I prayed and I prayed and I worked and I prayed and I wanted to get promoted. And God became faithful. It wasn't an easy road. It was a long road. I worked for some rough people. I worked for all kinds of bosses, mean, I mean, seriously mean and hateful. I just had different experiences. And even later on, when I was in banking, when God had honored us and we had been, we're doing much better and we had our own house and everything, before God wanted me to move into the coin business, he switched my Christian boss, who was terrific, for a severe porn addict. And I mean every night at the strip club kind of guy. God did that to me a couple times to make me move on. The man did not believe in family. I was driving home. I used to be on the road when I was a regional manager for Bank of America. I was heading home on a Friday. He goes, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm heading home. See my family." He goes, "No, you're not. You turn around. You're going back to Yakima." I told a dealer, "You'd camp out there over the weekend for a big auto show." I said, "No, I can't. I got to go home and see my kids. I got games. I'm coaching and everything." He said, "No. That's what you're doing." I said, "Come on, man. Family." I tried to give him the family lecture. He said, "If you want to keep your job, that's what you're doing." So he essentially started wanting me on the road, 2 weeks at a whack or whatever. And so then I started praying hard again. And things started to come together. And here I am. That's how God works. God will put you through some rough stuff to move you on to the sunshine. But you don't grab on to the sin. You don't grab on to the darkness. You don't hang on and fight for the darkness. And if you can't pay for your house, and when I was with the Bank of America Housing Services, I did repo inspections. I was involved with repossessions. People are like, "Oh, that's so horrible. You took people's houses." No, I didn't take them. I didn't work in that department. I would do inspections and stuff. But what happens is people sign on the dotted line and say, "I will." You got to understand the attitude that says, "I'm not going to pay my bills because," is the same attitude that says, "I'm getting divorced because I know I took an oath. I know I made a covenant, but I don't care." Now, it's a matter of, there's a difference between whether you can fulfill or whether you can't. If you can't fulfill a debt obligation, you find a way to resolve it. You call the company. Say it's a credit card. You say, "Here's where I'm at. I can't do this. I'm in big trouble. I don't have a job. I can maybe borrow money from ex-relative and settle with you. I may owe you $5,000. I can give you $900. And you settle the account and get on. Or you maybe borrow a small amount from somebody, settle the account, and pay the other person. That's what a lot of these credit, quote-unquote, cleanup companies do, is they go through and settle these accounts. And at the end of the day, you still end up with marred credit, but it shows settled, which shows that you made an effort, and then it begins to clean up. As long as you don't pay that debt, it continues to tick away at your credit. Credit is a reflection of your character. I don't care what you say, because here's the facts. People say, "Well, I had a medical bankruptcy." And then in banking, I go back through their credit and I'd say, "What about the car repossession 3 years before?" "Well, that was different." And I'm like, "Well, I see here you were behind on your credit cards 2 years before you said you had the medical accident." "Well, yeah, that was different. That's when I lost my job, and it was this and it was that." And it's funny, people like that have continuous problems, and it's everybody else's fault, isn't it? I have a hard time understanding how people can spend their lives searching for God, wanting to know Him, and blaming everything on other people. You need to take personal responsibility for everything in your life. Does that mean you can do whatever you want? No way. But I'm telling you, as far as it depends on you, you do the very best with what you've been given. If you sign on the dotted line and say, "I will," I mean, folks, I'll tell you, we went through rough, rough times. I mean, back then, I'd have a car loan for $700 or something. And, as I built my credit, we went through rough times for years. And I will tell you that after all that over time, now that I have 30 years of literally bulletproof credit that's just built up and up and up and up and up, it's gotten to the point that as a business owner, we have like I have like $1 million signature note, an unsecured line of credit on my signature. Because over all these years, I've built up the reputation as being a man who will pay a company back. And, you know, in our business, jewelry and diamonds and gold, I can pick up the phone and order millions of dollars of gold. I can call and say, I need $5 million worth of gold. The companies will drop it in the mail under the assumption that I'm going to send the check, because over all these years and decades, I've built a reputation. That is what character's about. I'm not sitting here bragging about myself, folks. Please don't take me wrong. I'm just telling you that it's the tortoise in the hare. It's just being consistent over the long haul. If you have kids or grandkids, tell them this. You don't tell them to go rack up credit, but you tell them that you plug away and plug away and plug away. A good name is to be valued more than any riches, gold, silver, whatever the Bible says. And your credit becomes your name. And again, I do not like the concept of lots of credit. It's almost impossible to live without a credit card now. People who try to do it, I don't understand. Or people with bad credit have to prepay their credit cards. Why? Just pay the bill, clean it up. If you're in a home that you have not paid for 7 years, it does not belong to you. It is time to give that back. How do you honor God by not making right on a prior obligation for 7 years, fighting the corporation, making the company fight, you know, these big evil corporations because they robo-signed this and they did that? The fact of the matter is, you know that you borrowed the money to buy the house and haven't paid it back. Most people, I know there's people that say, oh, I'm going to borrow money from so-and-so. I talked to a guy the other day. He was borrowing $60,000 from a relative to buy a big piece of heavy equipment. I said, is that secured by anything? No. I said, man, that guy's got lots of trust in you. He said, well, I would never stiff him. You know, I'm going to pay him back. I would never not pay him back. And the thing I said is, you know what? A lot of times, most of the time, people don't borrow money with the intent of not paying it back. What happens is something comes into their life they didn't expect. A medical emergency, cancer, death, you know, disability, loss of a job, whatever it may be. That's when people go south. That's the other thing credit shows. You don't think banks know that people have good times, bad times, and in-between times? Your credit shows what you do through the hard times. If your credit shows for a while you went 30, 60, 90 days past due on a bunch of bills, and then boom, 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 you went back to 60 and then 30 days, and then you caught up, you went through a hard time and you didn't burn anybody, did you? You stuck it out. Folks, it is character and integrity. And when you're out, quote unquote, borrowing money, be wise. Every single person out there should have a membership to Consumers Reports. Consumersreports.org, pay for it. They have, if you're going to use a credit card, they've got all the evaluations. They have a financial section. They have all the evaluations of every credit card out there, of every different source, even mortgages at a given time. You can get all kinds of advice on how to borrow money, you know, and I mean, I run into people all the time. I have a relative I was helping out, and she had all these debts, and she didn't even know what the rate was, you know. She had the ostrich with her head in the sand. If I don't think about it, it's going to hurt less. And she had huge debts. I talked to another friend last year when my dad was dying. He'd financed an RV for something like 20 years at 11%. I mean, he was paying back 2.5 times what the thing was worth. What this is, while interest rates were 4.5. The company booted him to the curb. They put him away. They buried him. They, whatever you want to call it, they overcharged him. Those companies RV companies make money on the financing just like they do on the sale of the trailer. People don't know that. You need to be a wise steward. If you're out being a fool with your money, not paying your bills, and not you know, representing Christ to the world, who's going to look at you and say, well, now there's the manifestation of Christ. I want to be like that guy, you know? Nobody. Nor is God. If you're faithful with little, he'll give you much. Well, the opposite's obviously true. If you're unfaithful with a little or a lot, you're done. You're not going to have some big windfall profit come and clean up your life because you don't learn a dang thing. You haven't changed your heart. Natural law. Call it what you want. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So to the flesh, get corruption. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say a word about your belief system. It says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. It's basically saying God set up a set of rules and you aren't going to break them. You can try to break them and you are going to sow to the flesh and you get to reap what? Corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you get what? You get life. What is the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Let me see. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Think about it. Faithfulness. What's faithfulness? Being faithful. Being good for your word. Doing what you say you're going to do. You know, kindness. Faithfulness. Goodness, self-control, all those fall into this. So if there's someone out there, I don't know. But folks, I'm telling you, there is such a thing as a deadbeat. And when you don't pay your bills, or you don't make right on things, and you stiff people, or you borrow something and you don't make right on it, or you take something that doesn't belong to you take someone's, you know, lawnmower or chainsaw or weed whacker, and you trash it and you don't make it right, same thing. You don't do that. You make right. Do not ever be the neighbor that borrows something and never returns it because the neighbor never asked for it back. If you've done that, go buy him a new one. If it's been too long, don't give him the old one back. Buy him a new one. Folks, it's integrity. Where does your money come from? Does it come from God? I will tell you, money means everything. People are like, what? You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. No, God created money because it says everything about you. It's a beautiful way to be blessed. It's also a terrible way to be cursed. God didn't make no accidents, right? His system is there for a reason. He designed us this way. We perceive a value, and we operate that way. That's why this whole concept I've mentioned in the past of what happens after nukes go off and all I got is a bunch of round gold coins and I need me a loaf of bread. Well, you ain't getting a loaf of bread after the nukes go off. You might be lucky to be chowing on some raw meat. But I can tell you, the only thing that's going to matter at that time is solid valuables. You could have a rare Fabergé egg given to the Tsar of Russia, and it will be a precious, valuable piece. Because people know that. It's built into us. We are created in God's image. As soon as man showed up on this earth, Adam, they began to build and construct and go to town. Then the flood wiped them out and they began to build and construct and go to town. If the flood was not a big enough example of what happens in a catastrophic situation, then you can't be educated. Man is man. God made us wise. He made us smart. He gave us skills. We have hands. We have feet. We have a brain. He gave us endless resources on this earth, and we will continue to utilize them until he takes us out of here. We will establish value to various things. People say, what about way back a long time ago when they used to trade just seashells? Well, they did that because wherever they were at, that's all they had. They didn't have gold. But they ascribed value to those seashells. There are certain areas where they used to trade great big rocks that they would carve out and put a hole in them. And people go, well, who would consider huge rocks valuable? People that live on islands that don't have rocks. Because it's rare. They start to figure it out, right? I mean, it's just the way we're built. So if you start to invest in hard assets, you will not go wrong. We don't know what the future holds per se. We know what the Bible says, but we just don't understand God's timing. We know that he's told us about certain things that are valuable. We know that he's bedecked heaven in gold. Visions of heaven say, I mean, heaven's so massive. I will assure you, he says heaven's decked out in what? Foundations of precious stones and gold and all kinds of magnificent everything everywhere. Valuables galore. Don't tell me they're worthless. They're not worthless. If God choose to build his house, you've ever seen Trump's houses? They're kind of nice. Literally gold-plated in a semi-tasteful way with marble and everything, right? God's palace will make Trump's houses look like the cheapest outhouse you've ever seen. Valuables matter. Hard assets matter. Valuables matter to people. We're made that way. So when we build you a portfolio, don't just come in. I know we've got our short-sighted mindset that we want to keep it simple. We keep it very simple. But it's no different than putting all your money in one stock. We have got a sector that has never died. People say, what do you mean? Gold's gone up and gold's gone down. Yep. But over the last 35 years, 470, I think it is, of the S&P 500 stocks are gone. What? How's that for solidity? That's bankruptcy, folks. The market is bankrupt. When you watch the indexes, okay? Oh, the S&P 500 keeps going up and up. NASDAQ keeps going up and up. Dow Jones keeps going up and up. No, it doesn't. Those are just artificial selections. And like I've said, they remove and replace stocks in those indexes all the time, and they use weighted moving averages. If you went and bought those exact stocks today, and you watched the Dow for the next 3 years, and you said, wow, that sucker's gone up 18%, but my portfolio's gone down 17%. Why? Because they keep removing and replacing stocks, and they use a weighted moving average, which takes all the stocks and it puts a great big long board across the top of them. So that it's, you know, when they tank, that board just stretches way out. It's, you know, don't be fooled by that stuff. It's sad that they can do that, and it's sad how ignorant people are. And I know there's so many people out there going, I don't get this, Kevin. I mean, you keep saying the Dow Jones is up and the markets are up, and I've got this 401k and this IRA, and the thing's going nowhere. I mean, I had a lot more money in it a few years ago or 5-10 years ago, and now I'm still not back to what I had. Or I watch this thing all the time, and it went down last month, and the Dow supposedly set new records. I don't get it. This is what I hear from people. It's because it's deceptive. It's really all designed to confiscate your wealth, just like John Maynard Keynes wanted them to do. So get out. Let us help you out. We'll put you in solid, firm, rock-solid assets. Not to mention, you'll just happen to be buying them at a great buying opportunity. I mean, there's so much good going on in the coin market. Coin grading has become conservative and tight. Quality coins are going for wholesale prices. It's the awesomest time ever. As an investor in coins for decades, I'm loving it. I'm eating it up. Do I have gold and silver? You bet. But I love $20 gold pieces and even old. There's all kinds of cool stuff. We do huge portfolios for people, and we balance them out. And they do well. They do well. They do well. Let us do this for you. Even a 401k or IRA, we can roll that over for you so fast, it's cake. And we've got all the metals. We can do it quick and easy. But at least you'll own metals. Now, there is a disadvantage, and I've heard people say this. Well, if I have a 401k or IRA, and the metals are stuck in a depository service, that means I can't access them. Yeah, that's the bad thing about it, right? I mean, you can access them, don't get me wrong. But they're not immediately liquid, okay? Now, people go, well, that stinks. I don't want that. Well, what do you think you've got right now with your 401k full of paper whatever, paper mache? What? How do you access that? How do you access your whatever? How do you access your stock or mutual fund? You can't. I mean, sure, you have to go through the company, ask for your money back, sure. But at least if you own precious metals, you do not have to worry about anybody's word ruining the value of them like you do paper. Paper is, you are absolutely dependent upon another man's word. And they're not very good, to be completely frank with you. It's almost inevitable, right? Folks, there are so many ways. I've got all these lists in front of me of things I was going to talk about, and I never quite got around to them. I've got all this stuff about global warming. I've got stuff about the founding fathers. I've got five ways that, you know, that of socialism. And I mean, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the fact. Well, let's first talk about what they're doing to Trump. I just want to say, for those of you that even waste your time following the story, this Comey situation, the ex-director of the FBI, what a joke, okay? I mean, this guy gets let go by Trump. And then all of a sudden he wants to come back and impugn Trump and say that Trump tried to manipulate him and Trump tried to do this and Trump tried to do that. A guy at that caliber should be utterly ashamed of himself. He should quietly and classily go away. Now, what's going on is the left eats it up. The right is afraid to say squat. You know, and really, what does it boil down to right now? That Trump said to Comey, hey, on this deal with Mike Flynn, who was his chief of staff or secretary of state or whatever, supposedly he had taken money from Russia and then he lied about it. But it wasn't like it sounds. He took it long before Trump came involved, and he did some consulting with him or whatever, and he just didn't disclose it properly, okay? So be it. Nothing to do with Trump. But, oh boy, does the left want to tag that one on Trump. And so this thing's going on. Flynn's a good guy, and Trump is a businessman, folks. I'm gonna defend businessmen now because I consider myself to be one. And this is what I do. I run to my problems. I don't hide behind a wall. You know, this whole thing they say, well, man, you know, Trump just picks up the phone and he calls whoever he wants. That's so unpresidential. He should just sit back and say nothing. He should do nothing. He tries to use his presidential influence to impact people and change events in the world. That's wrong. All Trump said to Comey was, is there any way you can drop this thing? Or is there any way to make it go away? He's a businessman. It's not good for him. He doesn't want it. It's negative, right? There's nothing. There's no obstruction of justice there. But for Comey to pop off like this after he's been laid off and say, I have my memoirs where I even wrote down nasty Trump things. Well, guess what? Who cares? Because there's bias anyway. When he sat with Trump, Trump kept saying, I need loyalty. And Comey said he stared at him. He wouldn't say, I'll give you my loyalty. The president of the United States, under whom you work, who has a right to take your job away at any time, this is how bad we become. So Comey says, well, I'll be honest. And he goes, that's what I need, honest loyalty. That's Comey's words. Trump denies it ever went down like that. I believe Trump, not Comey. Because Comey was a lefty, I think. I think he did some stupid stuff. I think he loves the limelight. I think he's a bad decision maker. I don't care. But the bottom line is that to call it obstruction is ridiculous. So they have these congressional hearings starting tomorrow where all the left's just going to parade around and spin questions and twist answers. And folks, aren't you sick of it? It's so disingenuous. And what does Trump want to do? He wants to get in a room with a man and say, let's solve this. Let's fix it. Oh, no, no. I have to play dirty politics. To get to the point that he's at, I suppose Comey had to pull some dirty tricks, didn't he, maybe? I don't know. Pretty pathetic. So basically what's going on, we are being overtaken by socialism, right? I mentioned a little bit ago, what does socialism do to an economy? Kills economic growth. Strong economic growth is what produces jobs, tax revenue, and a better standard of living for everyone, including the poor and middle class. That is what JFK was driving at when he said, a rising tide in the economy lifts all boats. Socialism strangles economic growth while penalizing success and rewarding failure. It's just like being in unions. You talk to these guys who are like union electricians. They get so irritated. They go out and do a good job, and the other guy's sitting around taking a break every 30 minutes, smoking a cigarette. They both get paid the same, and after a while, people get demoralized. They get annoyed. They're like, come on, man. Let's do something good. I want to feel good when I go home, not like, I deserve a job. I'm in the union. When you loot successful people in a society to give it to less successful people, you naturally reduce the number of successful people and encourage people to fail. This is what welfare does. It leads to a never-ending cycle. The more people in need there are, the more the successful must be penalized to pay for them. Obama was retarded economically. And the left is retarded economically. The more the successful are penalized, the fewer successful people there are. And what does that cause? Oh, it causes the wealth to concentrate into fewer hands. The economy slows down, and now more people need help. And then it goes on and on until you get a slow economy that cannot produce enough tax revenue to sustain itself, which is exactly what killed the Soviet Union, and it's killed Greece recently, killing them now. And now the United States and most of Western Europe are exactly on the same path. And what did Obama do? More taxes, more taxes, more taxes. Don't ever question your spending, for goodness sakes. Are you kidding me? The other thing communism, socialism does is it stifles free speech. Why is there ridiculous government propaganda in countries like North Korea? Why are most schools, papers, and colleges run by liberals in the United States? Why do you think liberals are always trying to disrupt conservative speakers on college campuses? Why are there such extreme speech codes in Canada that it practically makes certain conservative arguments illegal? Why do you think speaking out against the government makes you risk imprisonment in China and the old Soviet Union? Because socialism requires protection, propaganda, intimidation, and darkness to survive. Threats, fear. Socialism cannot survive honest, informed debate about its merits among people who are free to choose or reject it because it won't survive the conversation. And now they've got our college students fighting for this trash, folks. You serious? Reagan said, how can you tell a communist? He said, well, it's someone who reads Marx and Lenin And how do you tell an anti-communist? It's someone who understands Marx and Lenin. A third way that socialism destroys, it increases, it leads to an increasingly tyrannical government. Freedom and socialism go together like oil and water. The more socialism you have, the less freedom you have, because socialism cannot survive if people are free to choose whether they want socialism or not. The crazy thing is this false notion of democracy makes, you know, they brainwash people, tell them it's a democracy, and then these foolish people vote for socialism. Thus, the Bernie Sanders phenomenon. This young generation, all they want, gimme free, gimme free, gimme free. These kids are addicted. They're growing up on video games. They don't, and trash in the TVs and just filth all around them. They're fed garbage. You know, I've been studying a lot lately, evidence for a for the creation and the flood. And the more I look it up on YouTube and watch cool videos, the more I realize the TV just pumps filth at you, just absolute garbage filth. And all this 235 million years ago stuff, it's just retarded. It's dumb. I'm sorry. I know people say, oh, that word's bad. I'm sorry. It is. It's just a word I use. And it's a derogatory word, not to defame or curse those who are actually mentally ill. It's, to me, it's kind of a word for intentionally stupid. So I definitely apologize if that offends anyone. People, the more socialism you have, the less freedom you have to have. The two cannot coexist if people are free to choose, other than the brainwashing, okay? So people who are free say what they want. People are free to say what they want, is what I meant. Will criticize socialism's failures. We aren't even getting this stuff fed to us. Areas that aren't tightly controlled will move towards the free exchange of ideas and goods, not socialism. That's what happens. That's why, like a lot of the Russians, when they come over here, they buy cars and wash the titles across state lines and do all these things. And people say a lot of these Russians aren't the best businessmen. They're a little bit corrupt. Well, that's because for decades and decades and decades, free market over there was black market, and the two get associated. And then people over there start to say capitalism is bad, just like socialists do here. The left, oh my gosh, you know, capitalism destroyed America. No, corruption destroyed America. You don't need capitalism for corruption. Do you really think that capitalism breeds corruption more than socialism? But this is pure stupidity. They're not using common sense, rationale, logic, even a solid philosophical mindset. Socialism requires a massive bureaucracy that inevitably grows. As the government grows, it inevitably becomes more and more centralized and more distant from the people and ultimately more menacing. Anybody who tells you we're not there is full of it. Socialism creates strife and division. What are we seeing? It's all about turning people against each other. It has to be. After all, if you believe in controlling people's lives, the people who don't want to be controlled have to be vilified. The right, the conservatives, the radical, the alt-right. If you believe in confiscating the wealth of successful people who won't or don't want to give it up willingly and shouldn't, then others have to be convinced they're terrible human beings who deserve to be punished. They're unloving. They're just, you know, whatever. Victim classes must be created for the socialists to defend, because if everyone is responsible for himself, what need is there for a socialist? Eventually, those who depend on the government for their livelihood and those that the government smears and loots to pay them off come to hate each other. This is the root of all the destructive mayhem and division in our nation. Proverbs 6, what does God hate? One of them is a man who creates division among brethren. He hates socialism. Socialists believe the ends justify the means. This is the bad thing. If you've ever read Orwell's Animal Farm, the pigs did the same thing. The socialists believe, like just like the pigs in Orwell's Animal Farms, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. For a socialist, the overriding concern is always promoting socialism. No process, rules, and regulation mean different things for different people. Fidel Castro may have been the leader of a communist revolution against the evil rich people in Cuba, but he's worth $900 million today. A law broken by a Democrat and a Republican may be treated very differently by the newspapers, the courts, and even the Department of Justice under Eric Holder. Margaret Thatcher explained, left-wing zealots have often been prepared to ride roughshod over due process and basic considerations of fairness when they think they can get away with it. For them, the ends always seem to justify the means. That is precisely how their predecessors came to create the gulag. One of the reasons so many socialist nations are racked with violent protests and revolutions is because when the rule of law is abandoned, only outlaws have any hope of receiving justice. This is what's going on in America, folks. Wake up. Spread the news. And also, this wave is coming hard. There is no sign of retreat ahead. I say, prepare yourself financially. Be secure. Put your finances in a rock. This is what we provide. In a rock. Solid rock. The only thing that can destroy it is theft and a nuke. Okay? And that's a lot better than all the different variables that affect stocks. Once again, as always, thank you for tuning in. Coins Plus can be reached 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through the website coinsplus.com. We specialize in helping you preserve and protect your financial well-being. And you don't need a small fortune. If you have one, fine. If you don't, fine. Let us help you out. We'll treat you good. It's a great time to buy. It really is. Summers are usually a nice low. We've got some great products in stock. Thank you. Enjoy the sun. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.